الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد, continuing with the hadith of Abu Sufyan and Heracles. Since we completed only a few lines of the hadith, I just go through the translation of the beginning again, just the translation, because I've already explained the introduction to the hadith and the background and the rise of Heraclius to the Byzantine throne and his arrival in Jerusalem to pay homage and thanks and gratitude to God for his victory over the Persians. And after he arrived in Jerusalem, in Beit al-Maqdis, these are some of the things that happened, including his vision or his conclusion after studying astrology and looking at the stars and their signs, and also by studying the former scriptures, because along with being an emperor, he was also a scholar of some sort. He had certain knowledge of Christianity. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وعنه رضي الله عنه أن أبا سفيان بن حرب أخبره أن هرقل أرسل إليه في رقم من قريش كانوا تجارا بالشام في مدة التي كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ماد فيها أبا سفيان وكفار قريش. It is related from Abdullah bin Abbas رضي الله عنهما that Abu Sufyan bin Harb informed him that Heraclius sent word to him whilst he was in a caravan of traders from Quraysh, who were trading in Sham. As I explained in the last lesson, this was precisely in Gaza, In that period in which Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam had agreed a truce with Abu Sufyan and the disbelievers of Quraysh, and this truce took place in Hudaybiyah in the sixth year of Hijrah, and most likely this caravan reached Gaza and Sham, and this conversation, which will be quoted later, between Heraclius and Abu Sufyan took place in the early part of the seventh year of Hijrah, or possibly the latter part of the sixth year of Hijrah. فَأَتَوْهُ وَهُمْ بِإِلِيَاءَ. Abu Sufyan, after receiving the summons, travelled with all the members of his caravan to Ilia, which is the Roman name for Jerusalem, Beit al-Maqdis. فَدَعَاهُمْ وَحَوْلَهُ عُظَمَاءُ الرُّومِ. So Heraclius summoned them to the court, and around him he was surrounded by the dignitaries of Rome. ثُمَّ دَعَاهُمْ. He then called them, meaning he called them closer after summoning them to the court. He then called them very close to himself. فَدَعَا بِالتُرْجُمَانِ فَقَالَ. He then invited one of his interpreters and said, أَيُّكُمْ أَقْرَبُ نَسَبًا بِهَذَا الرَّجُلِ الَّذِي يَزْعُمُ أَنَّهُ نَبِيٌّ. Who amongst you is the closest in lineage to this man who claims to be a prophet, referring to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? قال أبو سفيان فقلت أنا أقربهم. Abu Sufyan said, I replied that I am the closest in family to him. فقال أدنوه مني. He said to his courtiers, bring him closer to me. وقربوا أصحابه فجعلوهم عند ظهره. And bring close his companions also, and placed them behind his back. I explained the reason, so that they wouldn't be reserved or they wouldn't be embarrassed in pointing out his lies, because that was what would happen if they were face to face. So Heraclius deliberately put them behind them so there would be no eye contact. ثم قال لترجمانه, he then said to his interpreter, قل لهم إني سائل هذا عن هذا الرجل. He said to his interpreter, tell them that I'm about to question this man, i.e. Abu Sufyan, about that man, meaning the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Till now, Abu Heraclius continued to refer to him as the one who claims to be a prophet. فَإِنْ كَذَبَنِي, if he lies to me, فَكَذِّبُوهُ, then belie him. فَوَاللَّهِ لَوْلَ الْحَيَاءُ مِنْ أَنْ يَأْثِرُوا عَلَيَّ كَذِبًا لَكَذَبْتُ عَنْهُ. Abu Sufyan says, by Allah, if it wasn't for the shame that they would quote a lie from me, or they would ascribe a lie to me, I would have surely lied against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I also explained that Abu Sufyan was a man of honor, and in fact, in one narration of the same hadith, he actually says that if it wasn't for the shame, and if it wasn't for the fact that I am a man of dignity and integrity, I would not lie. ثم كان أول ما سألني عنه أن قال. This is where we stopped on Friday. Abu Sufyan continues and says, ثم كان أول ما سألني عنه أن قال. Then the first thing that Heraclius questioned me about regarding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that he said, كيف نسبه فيكم. How is his ancestry amongst you? How is his lineage amongst you? قلت هو فينا ذو نسب. I said to him, he is a man of great lineage amongst us. So Heraclius asked him about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ancestry. Is he from a noble family? Is he from a prominent and noble lineage? Is he of good stock and blood? So Abu Sufyan replied by saying, هو فينا ذو نسب, that he is a man amongst us who is of great lineage. He is a man of Quraysh, the leading chieftains of all the Arabs. And even from within the Quraysh, he is from a very selected and high breed of a family. قال فهل قال هذا القول منكم أحد قط قبله. Heraclius continued and said, has anyone from amongst you ever made the same claim before? Or has anyone amongst you ever said the same thing? قلت لا. Abu Sufyan said, I told him no. Meaning, from amongst all of your people, has there ever been anyone who stood up and who's made similar claims to this man and has taught you or tried to teach you or has invited to whatever this man is inviting to? قلت لا. I said no. قال فهل كان من آبائه من ملك. Heraclius said, was there any king from amongst his forefathers? قلت لا. I said no. قال فأشراف الناس اتبعوه أم ضعفاؤهم. Heraclius then asked, do the noble folk follow him, or the weak amongst them? قلت ضعفاؤهم. I said the weak amongst them. Now this doesn't mean that all of the followers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were from amongst the common folk and they were not noble. No. The meaning of noble here is simply this, that not those who may be noble in character and lineage, noble in the sense that because of their wealth and their social position and possible political power, are these the kind of people who follow him, or are his followers generally derived from the common folk, who it doesn't necessarily mean that they are lowly? They may themselves be of great lineage, of noble character, and people of honour, but they do not occupy positions of power, nor are they wealthy in such a sense. So this is the meaning of, do the nobles from amongst people follow him, or the weak? So it's not a comparison between the noble and the meek, the honoured and those who are lowly. It's comparison between those who occupy positions of power, wealth, and social and political prestige, as opposed to those who may be noble themselves in character, but do not occupy positions of power and authority amongst Quraysh. Because Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhuma, Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu, Sayyidina Ali and many Khulafa, as well as all of those who, many of those who believed and supported Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam from the very beginning, were from amongst the noblest of Quraysh. So the question isn't about the nobility of character, of person, or lineage. Rather, it means those who are powerful and in positions of authority and prestige. So Abu Sufyan replied, ضعفاؤهم, that the weak amongst them follow this man. قال أيزيدون أم ينقصون. Heraclius said, do they increase or decrease in number? قلت بل يزيدون. I said, nay, they increase in number. قال فهل يرتد أحدهم منهم سخطة لدينه بعد أن يدخل فيه. Heraclius asked, does any one of them apostate from his religion out of displeasure for his religion after having embraced it? Does any one of them, after having embraced the religion, abandon the religion because of his displeasure towards the religion? قلت لا. I said no. Obviously, the reason Heraclius asked, remember, Heraclius was convinced that this man, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the final messenger. He had already made his study of the scriptures, the signs preceding the final coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now he was only verifying certain facts which only added to his conviction. And his questions were of a very particular nature. They were very precise. And Abu Sufyan, in a narration of the same hadith elsewhere, says that I said to myself when I met Heraclius that this is a very intelligent man indeed. So his questions were very carefully worded. So he asked him that, does anyone from the religion abandon the religion after having embraced it out of displeasure for the religion itself, after having become disillusioned with the religion itself, not for personal reasons or because they are compelled to leave the faith? So Abu Sufyan said no. Even though there were people who left the religion, but Abu Sufyan himself had to admit that such people left the religion, turned apostate, renounced their faith, not out of disillusionment or disenchantment with the religion itself, but rather for personal reasons, because of family, because of wealth, or ultimately because they were compelled to. In Medina, the Jews they plotted against Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and one of their schemes was that what we will do one day is that a whole group of us, because the Arabs used to look up to the Jews as being a very cultured, supposedly cultured, civilized, learned people with a history of revelation, prophets and scriptures, and people who were extremely literate. The Arabs would often approach them in matters of religion or in matters of spirituality, and despite looking down on them. So because of this attention that the Jews enjoyed amongst the Arabs as far as religion, literature and scripture were concerned, they once hatched a plot, and Allah speaks of it in the Quran, that they said to one another,
آمنوا بالذي أنزل على الذين آمنوا وجه النهار وكفروا آخره لعلهم يرجعون.
That why don't we do this? We shall all believe one day, in the morning. In the morning we shall announce our faith, and then in the evening, collectively we will all renounce the faith of Islam, in the hope لعلهم يرجعون, that the others who have believed, they become doubtful and suspicious of this new religion, and they lead it in droves after us. So the idea was that the Jews would, in a large number, embrace a religion in the morning, and this would, the news would spread like wildfire. It would be considered a victory for the Muslims. It would boost the morale of those who had already believed, that even the Jews, the people of the scripture, have now believed and have embraced the faith. And then they planned that by evening, collectively, we would all renounce our faith. And thus many would be forced to feel that there must be something wrong with their religion, that all of these people in such a large number initially believed sincerely and with great interest, but in one day, in less than a day, by evening they all renounced their faith. And they did this deliberately, as Allah quotes them, آمنوا بالذي أنزل على الذين آمنوا وجه النهار وكفروا آخره لعلهم يرجعون. Believe in that which has been revealed to, and they said this, which has been revealed to those who have already embraced the faith, who have already believed, early in the day, and then towards the evening or the end of the day, disbelieve in it, in the hope that they will also renounce their faith and return. Heraclius continued and said, فَهَلْ تَتَّهِمُونَهُ بِالْكَذِبِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَقُولَ مَا قَالَ. Before this man said what he said, would you ever accuse him of lying? قلت لا. Abu Sufyan said, I said no. قال فهل يغدر. Heraclius asked, does he, remember the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, does he deceive? قلت لا. Abu Sufyan said no. ونحن منه في مدة لا ندري ما هو فاعل فيها. However, Abu Sufyan said no. However, we are still in a period of truce with him, and I do not know what he is going to do. وَلَمْ يُمْكِنِّي وَلَمْ يُمْكِنِّي كَلِمَةٌ أُدْخِلُ فِيهَا شَيْئًا غَيْرَ هَذِهِ الْكَلِمَةِ. Abu Sufyan says, it was not possible for me. It was not possible for me to even interpolate a single word, save this word. Abu Sufyan says, I couldn't lie about him. However, this was one opportunity which I found. When he said to me, does he deceive? Of course, he does not deceive. However, right now we are in a period of truce, and that period of truce was initially for 10 years, beginning from the 6th year of Hijrah, from the
time that the truce was signed in Hudaybiyah. So Abu Sufyan said, I don't know how he is going to behave in this particular truce. Will he break the covenant? Will he prove to be honest and faithful? Or will he deceive? So Abu Sufyan says, it wasn't possible for me to interpolate a single word against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my discussion with Heraclius, except this. So he did it. قَالَ فَهَلْ قَاتَلْتُمُوهُ Heraclius said, have you ever battled with him? قُلْتُ نَعَمْ قَالَ فَكَيْفَ كَانَ قِتَالُكُمْ إِيَّاهُ I said, of course, we have fought with him. So Heraclius asked, how was your battle with him? قُلْتُ الْحَرْبُ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُ سِجَالُ I said to him, war between us is sijal, yanalu minna wa nanalu min. At times he is victorious over us, and at times we score a victory against him. And Abu Sufyan said, al-harbu baynana wa baynahu sijal. This is a very specific Arabic phrase, which literally means a war between us is like buckets. The meaning of this is that when people come together at a well, and the well is only large enough for one bucket to be lowered into the well and water to be drawn from one bucket only at a time, and different people gather, then one person lowers his bucket, draws water, and then the second one lowers his bucket and draws water, and in this way they alternate. So, al-harbu baynana wa baynahu sijal, war between us is alternate, i.e. victory alternates. Yanalu minna wa nanalu min. At times he is victorious over us, at times we score victory against him. And another meaning of buckets can also mean just like a bucket sways, hanging from a rope, to and fro. So similarly, victory in war sways between us and him. قَالَ فَمَاذَا يَأْمُرُكُمْ Heraclius continued to ask, what does he instruct you to do? قُلْتَ يَقُولُ عَبُدُ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا He says, worship Allah alone and do not ascribe anything unto him. وَاتْرُكُوا مَا كَانَ يَعْبُدُ آبَاؤُكُمْ And abandon whatever your forefathers used to worship. وَيَأْمُرُنَا بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالصِّدْقِ وَالْعَفَافِ وَالصِّلَةِ And he instructs us to prayer, to pray, honest, to be honest, to be chaste, and to be kind and favorable in our family relations. فَقَالَ لِلْتُرْجُمَانِ قُلْ لَهُ إِنِّي سَأَلْتُكَ عَنْ نَسَبِهِ Now Heraclius, after completing his questions, he begins to discuss the answers and give his interpretation of the answers that Abu Sufyan gave. Abu Sufyan told the interpreter, tell him that I asked you about his lineage. فَذَكَرْتَ أَنَّهُ فِيكُمْ ذُو مَسَبٍ You replied that he is a man of great lineage amongst you. وَكَذَلِكَ الرُّسُلُ تُبْعَثُ فِي نَسَبِ قَوْمِهَا Heraclius himself explains, and in this way are messengers sent from amongst the noble of their peoples. وَسَأَلْتُكَ هَلْ قَالَ أَحْدٌ مِّنْكُمْ هَذَا الْقَوْلَ قَبْلَهُ فَذَكَرْتَ أَلَّا I asked you, is there anyone amongst you who said this before him and you mentioned that no? فَقُلْتُ لَوْ كَانَ أَحْدٌ قَالَ هَذَا الْقَوْلَ قَبْلَهُ لَقُلْتُ رَجُلٌ يَتَأَسَّى بِقَوْلٍ قِيلَ قَبْلَهُ So I say, Heraclius is now giving his interpretation. Heraclius said, I say, that if there was anyone amongst your people who has said this before him, then I would have surely said that this man is simply someone who is following the example or the precedent of something that was said before him. Somebody rose up before him amongst your people and made this claim. And so he is following in his footsteps. Now Heraclius, one by one, is studying and explaining the answers that Abu Sufyan gave. And he says himself that this is the tradition of the messengers of Allah. These are not normal people. You mentioned that he is of the purest stock amongst you. And in this way are the messengers of Allah sent from amongst the best and the most noble of their peoples. And Rasulullah was from the chosen children of Sayyidina Ibrahim and Ismail. And before him no prophets had come to teach the people with a new religion and faith, with a revelation and a scripture, with a code of law and a way of life and a sharia, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came. Otherwise, his forefather in Mecca was Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu wa sallam, who was also a messenger of Allah. But he had not invited people in the way that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had invited, and he had not risen amongst the people with a revelation and an invitation to a scripture and a complete sharia as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. قلت وسألتك هل كان في آبائه من ملك فذكرت ألا. I asked you, was there anyone amongst his forefathers who was a king? Was there any king amongst his forefathers? And you mentioned no. فقلت لو كان من آبائه من ملك. So I said, if there was any king from amongst his forefathers, قلت, I would have surely said, رجل يطلب ملك أبيه. This is a man who is merely laying claim to the kingdom of one of his forefathers. I'm merely translating now, but inshallah, shortly, once the conversation between Heraclius and Abu Sufyan ends, I will explain this further in a summarized way. وسألتك هل كنتم تتهمونه بالكذب قبل أن يقول ما قال. I asked you that would you accuse him of lying before he said what he said, meaning before he made this claim of prophethood. فذكرت ألا. You mentioned that no. فقد أعرف أنه لم يكن ليذر الكذب على الناس ويكذب على الله. I do indeed know that he is not a man who would not lie against the people, yet lie against Allah. وسألتك أشراف الناس اتبعوه أم ضعفاؤهم. I asked you, do the noble amongst the people follow him, or the meek and the weak? فذكرت أن ضعفاؤهم اتبعوه وهم أتباع الرسل. So you said that no, the weak follow him, and indeed they, the weak, the meek, they are the ones who are the followers of the messengers alayhim salatu wasalam. Meaning in history, it has always been the downtrodden, the ones who have absolutely nothing to gain by believing and embracing a new faith. Those who are oppressed, who have no political power, no financial power, they are the ones who often follow the messengers alayhim as-salatu was-salam. وَسَأَلْتُكَ أَيَزِيدُونَ أَمْ يَنْقُصُونَ فَذَكَرْتَ أَنَّهُمْ يَزِيدُونَ. And I asked you, do they increase in number or decrease? So you mentioned that they increase. وَكَذَلِكَ أَمْرُ الْإِيمَانِ حَتَّى يَتِمْ. And Heraclius himself says, and this is the case of Iman until it reaches its conclusion. This is the case of the faith until it reaches its conclusion. That initially there are only a handful, but they increase in number. Not all of a sudden, not instantly, but gradually and shortly. وَسَأَلْتُكَ أَيَرْتَدُّ أَحْدٌ سَخْطَةٌ لِدِينِهِ بَعْدَ أَنْ يَدْخُلَ فِيهِ. And I asked you, does anyone, after having entered this religion, abandon it out of displeasure for it or towards it? فَذَكَرْتَ أَلَّا. You said no. وَكَذَلِكَ الْإِيمَانُ حِينَ تُخَالِطُ بَشَاشَتُهُ الْقُلُوبُ. And
This is the case of Iman. When the sweetness and the light of this faith enters the hearts. Heraclius is saying this himself, that when Iman settles in a person's heart, when its sweetness touches the heart, when its light illumines the heart, then a man cannot leave his religion out of displeasure for it. A man cannot leave his religion out of anger towards it, or disillusionment, because there is no disillusionment. وَسَأَلْتُكَ هَلْ يَغْدِرُ And I asked you, does he deceive? فَذَكَرْتَ أَلَّهِ You said no. And Heraclius paid no attention to that attempt by Abu Sufyan to cast some shadow of doubt on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَكَذَلِكَ الرُّسُلُ لَا تَغْدِرُ And this is the way of the messengers, that they do not deceive. وَسَأَلْتُكَ بِمَا يَأْمُرُكُمْ And I asked you, what does he instruct you to do? فَذَكَرْتَ أَنَّهُ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا You mentioned that he instructs you to worship Allah alone and not to ascribe anything unto him. وَيَنْهَاكُمْ عَنْ عِبَادَةِ الْأَوْثَانِ And that he prevents you and forbids you from the worship of idols. وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالصِّدْقِ وَالْعَفَافِ And he instructs you to prayer and to honesty and to chastity. فَإِنْ كَانَ مَا تَقُولُ حَقَّا If, Heraclius says, if this is where his explanation of the answers ends, so I'll continue with that afterwards. Heraclius knew that he was a prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he merely asked these questions out of formality and out of confirmation. And if we just cast a summary glance at the questions and the answers,